Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the tabernacle, Camping with God, based on Stephen Olford's book. In this session, we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, a shadow of reality. Let's read our text in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had thus been prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices were offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of his creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The wilderness tabernacle, a structure of divine conception and human construction. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Magnificent work in all its detail, yet only a copy and a shadow. The likeness and a hint of something very real. It fulfilled the tabernacle. It fulfilled a twofold purpose. First, the immediate purpose of the tabernacle. God had delivered the children of Israel out of the idolatry of Egypt where they were slaves. They had to learn how to worship God. He wanted his people to influence the nations around them. The tabernacle had to be a place of both worship and witness. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. No one can worship God without a relationship being established and a revelation being experienced. In spirit requires a personal relationship, and in truth demands exposure to revelation. How do we see this in the tabernacle? Well, Exodus 25:8 tells us, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And in Exodus 29, verse 45, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. This was a new thing. God had walked with Adam. He had communicated with the patriarchs, but the Lord had never resided on earth. We can never worship God. We can never worship until God dwells in us by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:22. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. not only will God dwell among his people, but he also promises to meet his people. Exodus 29, verse 42 and 43. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. We can worship only as God meets us through the revelation of his word, so that our response to him is in truth. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Look at Numbers chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms, and yielded ripe almonds. The tabernacle of witness, it says, a witness to the children of Israel and a witness to the strangers outside. Witness to the presence of God. Exodus 40, verse 33. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And then verse 38, for the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So witness his presence, witness to the purity of God. Sanctuary is a place of holiness. 31 times in Exodus, holy is connected to tabernacle. And Exodus chapter 28 and verse 36, you shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. The priests guarded the sanctuary of the dwelling place, and there was a 7.5 foot high fence around the outer court. Couldn't see in. Could only look and see the top of the roof of the tent. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And then there's witness to the protection of God, pillar of cloud and fire. No force could get near them. No one could stand against them. Nothing could even touch them. And look at Numbers chapter 9, verse 16. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Light for the darkness of night, and shade for the heat of day. And then second, the ultimate purpose of the tabernacle, to point to him who would one day come, Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ. First, his person. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. And jump to verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of his creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. It says perfect tabernacle. In him, referring to Christ, was fulfilled all of the shadow. There were two basic materials used, gold and wood. Gold speaks of the deity of Christ, and wood pictures his perfect humanity. The most precious metal known to man is gold. And acacia wood is the most incorruptible wood on earth. Bring these two thoughts together, gold as deity and wood as the perfect humanity, and what do you see? Well, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Two perfect natures in one personality, a mystery that we just can't understand. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. The Redeemer must be God and man to mediate between them. We're going to see this in the construction of the tabernacle. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And then His work. There were many different gifts and sacrifices the priests had to receive and offer to God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, and verse 12. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of His creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Two types of offerings were given at the tabernacle. Gifts, which were dedication offerings, and sacrifices, which were substitution offerings. Leviticus reveals five different offerings. Three were gifts, the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. And two were sacrifices, the sin offering and the trespass offering. Gifts were dedication to the Father, and sacrifices were personal substitution. Jesus Christ's death was both. He was a dedication and a substitution. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. No one can share in the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. It can only benefit us by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we can share in the dedication gift. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you a living sacrifice? Or have you climbed down off the altar? You answer those questions, and you have a great day.